Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
We have overthrown Kalendar, our leader, and are now podcasting willy-nilly on a Thursday. How about that?
Thursday is the enemy of Kalendar.
All hail Thursday, our new ruler. See, we ruined it. Now we got a new... Ah, people, what you gonna do?
We crave authority. That's the
problem. I guess we do. We ruin everything. I posted the report card finally this week.
I did see that.
And we have the newsletter going out this week, too. It's a very busy Six Colors week this week, I'll tell you. Let me tell you.
A lot happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a... people had opinions, which was not shocking.
I asked, and I got 55 opinions, and then I averaged the opinions to give the general drift of sentiment, I think. Great. I called it on Upgrade, and it's like, that's what it's for, somebody should do it, and why not me, I guess, except then I compile that 30,000 words of comments into, oh boy, that was a lot of work.
I tried to write less.
Wish everybody would. I love it that they gave detailed answers, but boy, I can't use them. That's the thing, is I just can't use them. So yeah, I spent a lot of last week and this weekend, in fact, because I wanted to get it done by Monday on... cutting it down to little quotes and things.
Next year, one sentence per entry. That's where I'm going.
I might put a little suppression on in the survey.
Your answer is too long.
Like, give me a sentence or two, right? Like, don't write an article here. I appreciate you want to give me an article. I'm not going to use it. So, yeah. But it's always good to see that. I am amazed that, it's... I don't know. It's a big project. And then at the last minute, this happened with the Apple financial results on Tuesday as well, where you have a whole system that you've used before. So you just use it again. And then once you're done, that's the moment. If you can capture that moment, that's the moment where you say to yourself, now that I just did this, what do I change for next time? Because what you don't want to do is wait and then a year or 3 months or whatever and get to it again. And you're like, oh, I'll just do what I did last time. And then you're stuck in that loop. You want to stop it immediately. And I had that with both of these things. I actually did catch myself with a report card where I realized rather than just posting it, I was talking about it on Upgrade before I posted it. And I realized that I was sitting there looking at the trends over 4 years, because we've done it for 4 years now, and calling those out on the podcast. And when we were done with the podcast, I thought, why do I not have any of that in the chart? And the answer is because when you only did it for 2 years, there's no trend really worth noticing. And even 3 years, there's not great. But now there's 4 years of data points. And so I designed a new chart for every category and put those in the last like 40 minutes before I posted that story, so that people can see trend lines of across the years in each category, because now it actually is meaningful. But if I had not thought about it, if I had done those in the opposite order and posted the story and then done the Upgrade thing, I would have hopefully put a note to myself or built those things and then saved them for next time. And same with the Apple results, where immediately afterward I was like, I got to make some changes to these charts now. Like, and I know I need to start thinking about it right now, or it won't happen, because I probably won't give myself a few days notice to look at the charts and make sure that they're all
well. And it's
spiffy.
Tough, because when you come right out of it, you're like, oh, I'm so sick of this thing that like totally just absorbed a lot of my time, right? Like, this is exactly, I was dealing exactly with this post our mystery hunt experience this year, because we were talking about making some changes to some of the tools, you know, the digital tools we use. And I was like, well, I need to upgrade the software on the server that we're using, but obviously I can't do that right before the mystery hunt. That would be the absolute worst time to do that. And so, you know, people are so relieved when they're done with their several days worth of doing puzzles that they're like, I need to like decompress and not think about this. And I was like, but we need to do like all those changes we talked about making. Now is the time to do them. You have those ingrained systems and they're great, but yeah, you don't think about them for like a year, and then you're like, oh yeah, I meant to do something, but I can't remember what it was. Like, I was going to change something, but I've forgotten. I didn't make a note.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's a classic balance for anything that's repeating, is how do you get that? I did my little script that automatically outputs the files and uploads them, and everything worked great. And that was great because there were weird things. So Apple restated a bunch of their numbers based on allocating basically they put a value their on revenue. The free services that come with hardware, and then they took that money out of the hardware lines and put it in the services line, which floats the services line higher, and they only calculated it back a year. But I initially just put in the new numbers, and then I had a couple of people say your percentages are different than what Apple says the percentages are, and it was because I was using the old numbers. So then I input the new numbers and I regenerated them again with my script, and then I thought, you know, I could either, but now the numbers before fiscal 18 don't count, and you could either label them or ignore them, which is bad because trends are good. Or what I decided to do, which I'm probably going to have to footnote somewhere, is I decided to take their historical adjustments for the four quarters where we know before and after, and put those in for past. Oh, wow. So I you know, basically, like, iPhone varied by 1.7% and Mac varied by 0.8% or whatever, and I just made those adjustments historically.
So you have restated Apple's earnings.
I have restated Apple's earnings. Well, here's the thing. Those restatements, I feel like, are to the benefit of Apple because it boosts services revenue at a time when they want to promote that. And so, you know, the net result is that the services revenue in previous years goes up by like 7%. And that's important when you're trying to evaluate how fast services is growing. So I did it. I will probably keep going with my extrapolation numbers, but footnote it somewhere, and then I'll probably try to kick it off faster. I'll probably, you know, crush the charts back down to like 2 years or something as soon as I can, in like a year.
Right, sure.
And get those numbers gone. But it's still kind of useful to have them there. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess. Anyway, the thing that I was actually talking to Dr. Drang about this because he has opinions about charts. And his charts are very good. They're not very pretty. He doesn't care. I kind of care that they're pretty and good. But I was talking to him about it because I realized I have three different charts. It's chart talk now. Calendar decrees, Thursday decrees. We talk about charts.
Chart talk.
Chart. Actually, well, let's not talk. I'll just show a chart. Yeah. Oh, that doesn't work on a podcast. Okay.
This is Chart Talk, acolyte of Calendar.
Oh, Chart Talk. All hail Chart Talk. I realized I have a Mac revenue chart or a product revenue chart. I have a product revenue change year over year chart. And I have a product revenue chart 4 year or 4 quarter rolling average. Mm-hmm. And that's three charts per product category, which is probably too many. Worse, different products have different charts in the six colors chart set, which is not good. And I don't know why it is. And it's probably just, it happened over the course of the building of the charts that I made changes to some and not others. There are a lot of charts, Dan. So I'm experimenting with collapsing the revenue charts into a single chart so that there's a revenue chart and a revenue change chart, and that the revenue chart have bars for the current quarter revenue and a line with dots across it that is the rolling average that takes out the noise. I'm not sure it imparts, I mean, there's more information in it. It's not necessarily as readable at a glance as a simple chart, but I think that taking the noise out and smoothing the revenue is useful. And yet I don't want to omit what the actual revenue number is. So I end up in this situation where, so I'm experimenting with a few different ways of doing a combined chart, which I haven't really done before, so that you can see Mac revenue on, you know, quarter by quarter, $7.4 billion, and also rolling average. So you can see that, you know, even though the last two Mac quarters were really good, the rolling average, you know, they've been rolling around $6.4 billion for the last year and a half as a rolling average. So they had two weak quarters followed by two strong quarters. And I just think that's useful. But anyway, I need to think about it now is what I'm saying, because if I wait until the end of April, it will probably be too late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already have fewer charts to make because there's fewer numbers.
Yeah, I don't have those
reported.
Those pesky unit sales charts are gone. Mm-hmm. So I might even change my script a little bit, but I got to fix the charts first. But now is the time. It's kind of funny that now is the time to do that so that stuff can pay off in April. 3 months from now.
Upfront investments.
And likewise, that the charts for... I've gotten really good at charting in numbers. Numbers is great. I don't use numbers as a spreadsheet, but I use it as a charting tool. And it's just the charts from numbers are beautiful. They've done... I know you can get good charts out of Excel now, but like numbers has always been so good. I mean, like that is why I use... I am not a big iWork fan in general. I never use Pages. I do use Keynote when I give a presentation, but that's very rare that I give a presentation. I do love Keynote, but numbers as a charting tool, like I love it. It's really good. I get frustrated because I was trying to do some chart adjustments on iOS and I fell into a hole of like, oh, that's not a thing you can do on iOS. That still bugs the crap
limitations.
Out of me.
Like as I've written about in the past, I use my accounting spreadsheet that I've designed myself, and I added charts at one point because I was like, oh, I am interested. These are charts that mostly I will not share with other people, but they are things that I am interested in seeing. And I was amazed not only how easy it was, but also how good everything looks. So it is really like a simple matter to basically compile all this information that I'm, you know, tracking all this data over time anyways. And numbers actually has gotten a lot better. They added a thing, maybe 6 months ago or so that is... kind of like pivot tables where they can do categories and you can like flip a switch and it non-destructively like sorts things into categories. So for example, I, you know, have a bunch of different freelance clients and normally I just log everything in this big flat spreadsheet where it's like, I put in the client, I put in the amount, I put in the project, right? And then I can flip a switch and say, show me all the payments from this client. And it just does it. Like, it doesn't resort the data. It non-destructively, like, rearranges the formatting of the chart to show, like, breakdown by client, breakdown by quarter, breakdown by project. And it's fantastic. Like, it's incredibly, you know, I know there are limitations. You know, my fiance, like, lives in Excel. And she, all the stuff that she can do in Excel, I know that's a lot of it is just not feasible in numbers at all. But for someone like me, who is just looking to do some very, like, basic data collection and graphs, numbers works perfectly fine. Like I've run into a couple instances where it's like, oh, I wish there were some more like programming style logic stuff that I could do because I could crunch some interesting figures that way. But even without that, it still does, you know, 90%+ of what I as a layperson who does not, you know, subsist on Excel for a living need to do. And it looks good.
And it looks good. Yep, that's the truth, is it looks good. Apple definitely cared about that, and the charts are very pretty. I made a chart. I made that crazy scatter chart about prices on by performance. Do you remember that? That was my hoping to ape 538, basically. They do a lot of very pretty charts on 538.com. And that was fun to do because that was a completely different chart style than I'm used to. And it worked okay. I had to manually overlay text. That's one thing that I need to figure out better, is I think I can do more like better labeling. And that's actually something that does happen in numbers, is you kind of have to manually label stuff because it'll let you globally, like, say, put all the tags to the left or the right. But what it doesn't do is any avoidance, which it probably should be sophisticated enough to say, like, oh, if I put the label here, it goes over some other label on this chart. I'm going to move it above instead.
And sometimes I've seen it be real smart about that, and then the rest of the time it's really dumb, and I can't figure out what the difference between those times are. Because I've definitely had it been like, oh, I was like, oh, that actually did a pretty good job putting like some of the stuff inside the pie chart, some of the stuff outside the pie chart, and then I'll try the same things somewhere else and be like, oh, you just overlapped all these labels. I don't know what you thought you were doing.
Yeah, I have a few.
You weren't doing it.
I have a few charts where I have to move the text labels around because the text labels just don't make sense. Unless you move them around, and that's just, it's just how it is. So I don't love it, but that's how some of those have to be. And I have to send, you know, I have to send to the back and draw a thing in the front, and you know, it's not great. Not my favorite.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting
there. But it's there's a lot of good there. I am not I did not take a statistics course in college. I have you know, I'm not a charter by nature, so I have had it's a charter. I'm a charter member of the I don't know how to make a chart club, so I have to learn.
I did take statistics in college, and all the chart making tools have changed.
I have a funny
because that was so long ago.
Funny thing, I did finally decide again, talking about inconsistency. I realized I didn't have a year over year services revenue graph, and it's funny, the revenue change graphs that I made, or charts or whatever they are, is it's got to be positive and negative, so it's little bars going up and down based on your revenue change. So like the iPads had a lot of down bars, but now it's got a big up bar for this last quarter. It's great. Mm-hmm. I did that for the services revenue, and I kind of let out a laugh because I was like, oh, this doesn't need a negative area. It just goes up. It just goes up. There's no negative services. Yeah, there's no negative service growth quarter. So that's that's nice. Must be nice.
Must be nice to have that.
Anyway, I spent some time in numbers. Also, I had a laugh. Dr. Drang posted things, and he talks about Apple's other category. And Apple changed their other category. It's not other anymore. It's wearables, now wearables, home, and accessories.
Accessories.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a...
It's literally... The numbers are the same. It is literally other. They just renamed it.
Right. Yeah, and it's... I mean, it's nice because other products was always, you know, pretty vague and assumed, you know, certainly like, oh, this stuff we don't care about, right? Like, the connotation is like, yeah, those other things. So, because of the fact that they're, you know, talking more about the Apple Watch, you know, and the AirPods and that kind of stuff, like, it's clear that they're making a lot more emphasis on that category. I assume that home encompasses both the HomePod and the Apple TV? Because the Apple TV is not broken out separately either. So I assume that's home?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Unless you can wear an Apple TV, like put a chain around your neck or something. You could do that.
No one's going to stop you, except for possibly the fashion police. It's always interesting what things they break out and what things they don't break out. And especially now that...
That was a Flav reference, for those who didn't get that.
Flavor.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's always interesting what they decide to focus on and not... Like, you know, the Apple Watch, they like to talk up, you know, random statistics every once in a while about how well it does. But they're not confident enough in it to break it out in its own product line, or felt it's not big enough to break out into its own, like, product line, or just didn't want it. Give any information, like when they reported units, I can see why they want to sort of play that close to the vest. But now that we're just talking about money, I kind of feel like you could break the Apple Watch out into its own product line if you wanted to, because I'm sure it does perform pretty well. But you know, if you don't have to, why do it? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. When they announced the not doing the unit sales, I had that moment of like, yeah, why? Why does Apple do anything that is not mandated by, like, in terms of disclosure? I guess inertia. But then at some point, somebody's like, why are we still doing this? I'm like, yeah, okay, let's just not do that. So they don't do that anymore. They take their lumps. They move on. They were going to take their lumps for this quarter anyway, as it turns out. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, they're still making plenty of money.
It's true. That was the final comment on my piece on Macworld this week, and it's actually related to the lead item that I wrote in the Six Colors magazine for this month, which will be going out momentarily after I write the last thing, which is don't cry for Apple. Like, don't start a GoFundMe for Apple. Like, this is the thing. My magazine piece is very much like, I'm just sick of the whole people waiting for the next big thing from Apple. Apple needs to have... Remember that guy who said Apple needed to have an Apple Watch in the next 6 months or it would go out of business, and it didn't come out for a year? There was a guy who's like, literally, it's going to go out. I think it was that guy that Gruber makes fun of, that Trip Chowdhury guy.
Oh, Trip Chowdhury, yeah.
But, you know, everybody's like, oh, they got to find the next iPhone. And you know, this piece is probably my 10th time saying it in a different way, which is there's no next iPhone, right? There's no next iPhone. There's no next smartphone probably anytime soon. That was a really unique product that went from nowhere to everywhere in the world in 10 years. Those products don't come along very often. Seeing one and expecting there to be another one, honestly... And then people are like, oh, Apple hasn't done anything that since Jobs died. They had the iPad after the iPhone. The iPad was not the next iPhone either, right? Yeah. I mean, and some of the disappointment people have in the iPhone is that there was that hype of like, oh, this is going to be the next iPad. The iPad is going to be the next iPhone. Everybody's going to... It's like, no, 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 that's not what it's going to be. There is no next iPhone. Apple gets this iPhone business, which even if it's flat or down a little bit, is just a license to print money for a long time. They will make huge amounts of money off of it. And in the meantime, they are using that money to research and develop other stuff. Like, I mean, the Apple Watch is not the next iPhone. And it's not for everybody, but it is very hard not to look at it and say it's a wildly successful product, in that it is, among watches, it's like the most successful. It is, they sell a lot of them. It's competitive against the other fitness trackers and things too. Like, it's a successful product. It's still not the next iPhone, and whatever they do in AR is not the next iPhone.
Well, and all those businesses, like, kind of standing on their own. I mean, they talk about this a lot in their financial results, but like, you take the Mac business or you take the iPad business on its own, and those are still reasonably successful companies, essentially, on their own. They only look meager because of their comparison to the iPhone, really. Like, it's not any of those companies on their own would be far more successful than Apple was, say, through the entirety of the 1990s. Like, there's, you know, the fact that the iPhone outclasses everything else, and that's, you know, the indication of that too, and the results being, like, if you took the iPhone out, everything in that business, like, everything else was up by like almost 20%. Right? Like, it was only the iPhone that was down. And that's because the iPhone is a weird product, because it has become this category breaking phenomenon. Like, it makes it really hard to judge anything else by it. It's an outlier, frankly. Like, compared to the rest of the business, it has the highest highs by far. And it's just like, it's a multiple of like any of those things in terms of success. But that means, you know, because so much of the percentage of the of Apple's overall financial health is dependent on it, that, you know, as it goes, so goes, so yeah, goes the perceptions of Apple, right? Like, and so goes the bottom line, because it's just so dominant. It has so much gravity, right?
Yeah, what I said in my Macworld piece is, you know, Apple's holiday quarter was by most measures incredibly successful. Revenue of $84.3 billion, $20 billion of that in profit, the second largest quarter in Apple history. And yet, you know, when the iPhone is hurting, Apple is hurting. That's the bottom line. When the iPhone is hurting, or as I said on Download today, it was the second best of times. It was like, and yet it was the worst of times, because it doesn't matter the services is up and that is padding the loss in the iPhone and all that. It's like, well, you know, the iPhone is roughly 2/3 of your business, and the iPhone is flat to down. Your business is flat to down, and it doesn't matter what you're making up on the other side. You will be judged by that to a certain degree.
And rightly, it's funny. It's funny because I've seen all this stuff on Twitter this past week, in reaction to, among other things, Howard Schultz possibly running for president, talking about the perception of a billion versus a million, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
How long would it take you to earn $1 billion if you, like, socked away all your money every year, like $50,000 a year? Like, how high is a stack of, like, $1 billion notes compared to $1 million notes? And, like, to really give you an idea of the scale between that. And then when you think about the fact that Apple made $52 billion, like, revenue, $52 billion for the iPhones, just for the iPhones, and you're like, oh, people are really upset because they didn't make $53 billion. And then you're like, $1 billion difference there is so much money. It's so much more than any of us will ever make in our lives. That it I understand this is finance and this is investment in the stock market and all that, but like, when you take a step back and kind of look at like the margins, just the margins we're judging this on are just like, you just throw them out as words because they don't really grok as numbers, yeah, right? Like, I thought about like Apple hitting that $1 trillion marketing cap, and you start thinking about how much money that is, and you're like, I literally can't imagine.
No.
I can't fathom how much money that is.
It is literally astronomical, because I'm reminded of when people talk about space stuff and like how far away is Pluto, mm-hmm, and all of that. It's very hard for our minds to grasp, even in our solar system, and also the relative distance between like our solar system and the next one and all that. It's very hard to do. The best one I saw this week was somebody said, okay, you think you can think of what a million is, which is also hard, but the difference between a million and a billion, I would imagine that even though we all know how many orders of magnitude greater that is, and you know how much more that is, it is hard to conceptualize it. This was valuable to me, which was a million seconds, mm-hmm, is 11 and a half days.
Right.
A billion seconds is almost 32 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot, right? Like, so 2 weeks or 30 years.
Literally exponential. You know, it's, you know, my fiance, her dad worked for a bank when she was growing up, and she talked about going in as a kid. And one of the things they let you do, I think she said, they let you hold like $1 million. And she's like, yeah, it's not that much. Like, it's not that much. But, like, you couldn't probably hold $1 billion pretty easily.
You
like, that would be
crushed
too
to
heavy.
Death yeah. by $1 billion.
Yeah, even in like pretty big notes. But yeah, it's, we just think of it as like, oh, there's just a bunch more zeros on the end. But like, when you really think about it's a bunch more zeros at the beginning is the problem, well, yeah, not yeah. the bunch
I,
more
I
zeros
was
at
say,
the end.
I think there's something in our brains which like wants to equate like a billion is like twice a million, but no, that's 2 million.
Yeah, right. You got it, and it's not even.
Or maybe it's 100.
Million or 100
no, that's
million.
100 million. A billion is 1,000 million. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really difficult.
Three,
so yeah, that's
three orders.
All the you know, all the foo for all around. But I'm also always find it useful to listen. I listen to the regular, you know, the NPR news and stuff like that. And then, you know, sometimes the Apple stuff verges into the mainstream. And I hear about it on Marketplace, which I listen to for the financial stuff. And it's always interesting to watch the takes there because they're so different in sometimes, and for both for good and for ill. Like sometimes, you know, I think that things are overly simplified, and sometimes it's like, you know, everybody this week I heard multiple things were like, yeah, well, you know, the stock market was up bolstered by Apple's good earnings. And I'm like, that is not the conversation that we are having over here. And like, but it's useful to think about because not everybody is as steeped in it. And even if, yes, they know about the, you know, the whole like lowering their earnings shot, whatever, the fact that Apple still came in over the amount that they predicted they make, even if it was only slightly, was good. And, you know, most of the sort of the general broad mainstream understanding of that was positive. And yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to understand the financial markets, or at least the behavior around the financial markets, but it is always interesting to see a different perspective on the story when you're coming from perhaps more of an outside view than an inside view.
Yep. Innumeracy will get us all in the end. That's what Thursday told me when its revelation was given to me after we deposed Kalendar.
Numbers are king, not the spreadsheet. Maybe the spreadsheet.
I live in a world where no one is king but Thursday, Spock.
I think that's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, isn't it? That's Friday. Sorry, that's Friday.
Correct. As usual, King Friday. Now, turn over all of your weapons before we destroy your neighborhood. Something like that. I don't know. I got to work on that. I wasn't expecting to Shatner there, but that's what happened. I watched a classic Shatner. Star Trek episode this week. I hadn't in a while. And I was struck by just how much the Shatner cadence has gotten into my brain. Just, it's amazing. And the thing about it is that the speeds, like he's got like four different speeds on his mouth. So it'll be like, we come in peace, but I warn you that if you long pause, don't do what we say, then we'll end. Wait. It's amazing. So it is Stop Me Before I Shatner Again is what I'm saying. But,
that's the name of your debut album.
But I am amused by the episodes where they destroy people's computers that run their civilization. There are a lot of this. I think perhaps, Dan, follow me here. As an adult, I look back and I think perhaps people in the mid to late 60s, were worried about society being controlled by kind of impersonal, unfeeling machines or algorithms or numbers. Fortunately, that didn't come to pass. So we're fine.
Yeah. We all just leaned back and relaxed into the the comforting arms of Kalendar.
Yeah, indeed. Just taking it one day at a time. That's the motto of Kalendar's followers. Just taking it one day at a time. Turn the page.
It is funny because it's also one of those things that happened without anybody. I think, yeah, it didn't look like what we expected it to look like. That's the thing I always love about science fiction from the 50s and the 60s. And it was always so focused on, we're going to space, we're going to settle the moon. And it's like literally nobody ever thought about the internet. like it was not a thing. It was such a left, hard left turn from all the projected future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could point out examples of science fiction that did, but the gestalt of it was definitely like the one that always gets me watching old Star Treks is that they have like record tapes. So if they want to search a database, they have like a little cardboard or a little wooden painted, colorfully painted rectangle, and Spock will put it in the computer. Which does, it absolutely prefigures floppy disks and stuff. So they were right in that way, but they didn't take that leap, which is, in some episodes, it's sort of implied that they sort of have it, but it's like that storage is just, everything is stored in the database. You don't need to have these individual little cards with data on them. And that always makes me chuckle, the idea that there are episodes whose plots hinge on the idea that there's information in one place that's not accessible from another place. And I think, no, that's not what happened.
Or I mean, Captain Picard and his stack of iPads.
iPads is a great example, right?
You need to put a different letter on each iPad. Like every document you're reading it's security, really, is what it is. Like then you have only one iPad has your secret documents on it. But yeah, I don't know. I find that fascinating because it always makes me project forward from here and be like, what thing have we not thought about that will be a total left turn to all the science fiction that you're reading today? Because there's probably something, because humans just aren't that good at predicting the future, as it turns out.
Well, and sometimes there are breakthroughs, right? That's part of it. Because I feel like in science fiction, in the 60s, like people were extrapolating, and they were extrapolating about computing power, but they were also extrapolating about, you know, we went from having never been in space to having somebody on the moon, no people in space to somebody on the moon in what, 10 years, 15 years, like no time. So people are like, okay, well, it's going to be linear. We're going to go to Mars and have a moon base, and we're going to go to Jupiter and, you know, onward. Like, and that was not the case, because the reality was not only just the political will disappeared in the 70s, but also it was
it's the million to billion problem. Yeah, it was a lot harder, exponentially difficult problem.
A lot harder, and they were doing just enough. They could do just enough to get to one place, and then beyond that, it was going to be that much harder. But they didn't. You know, then you take the computer thing and the breakthroughs and Moore's law and having the ability to take those, you know, computers that were the ones that Captain Kirk fired his phaser at that were like the size of a room, and you turn those into there's a famous story I really love, which is in the early days, they were talking about the global appetite for like microchips. And they were saying, like, we imagine that there will be, you know, eventually in the world, a microchip for every person or something like that. And the guy who was writing this was saying, you know, I'm writing this. I think it was like I was on a conference, and I went back to my hotel, and it's got an electronic lock. And like there's a processor in every lock of every door in every room of this hotel. And that was not foreseen, that kind of thing. And that sometimes it is that breakthrough where you got to be looking at the like technological vectors and say, well, what, like we've talked about, even back to Star Trek, like genetically engineering humans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there has been that story about the one guy in China who used CRISPR, you know, and CRISPR itself is a breakthrough, but he used CRISPR to edit the genes of an embryo, and a baby was born, and it's a genetically altered human being for the first time. And like, we don't know quite where these paths will take us, but something like CRISPR could lead to a whole, you know, change in how humanity defines itself. Or it could not. There could be a drug or a, you know, brain interface or something else that is discovered that completely shoots us on a path that we don't know about. But that's the trick, and that's I feel like the unforeseeable or difficult to foresee one is there are like 10 different things that could get discovered or invented, and only one of them will, and that'll drive the 21st century, and we don't know what it is. That's the funny thing about it.
Well, and it's the fun thing to play with as a science fiction writer.
Sure.
Like, I've got so many options. Like, there are so many different directions this could go.
Yeah, like, what if there was a whole planet that was a bank?
It doesn't sound realistic.
Well, all right. Anyway, the Byron agenda is coming. It's coming.
It's coming in a month. That's a little terrifying. Speaking of things we were just talking about where it's like things you do once and then you sit on it for a year and you forget. Like, my first book came out almost 2 years ago. And so trying to remember what do I do when the book, like, what do I need to do?
Right.
What should I be doing? How should I be treating this? Like, where should, how should I be marketing this? Where should I be marketing this? What should I be saying? Like, I did not really think about, like, this is going to be a repeating thing, like a task I need to do multiple times. I should probably, you know, make some notes and learn from my experiences last time. But I don't think I really thought about that because I was so focused on the one thing at the time.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Try to keep that in mind.
Especially when you're so focused on like producing the actual book. And, you know, the tendency is always, you know, lean back and relax. Ah, finish the book. Done.
Yep.
You put it out there in the world and everything will be great. It's like, no, actually, there's way more work there. And this is all work that you're less good at in theory. Because it's not playing to your core competencies of, you know, mm-hmm. writing a book. If I can call that a core competency, that might be overstating
it. Maybe. All right. Well, we'll see what Kalendar has in store for us next week, I suppose.
I thought he was dead. Man, that guy, hard to stop.
He is like, I think he's not really dead. I think he's going to come back and menace us again.
He's really flipped over a new leaf.
A week or a certain number of days. I don't know. I don't know how this works anymore. Thursday doesn't tell me anything. But until
Kalendar
then,
is unpredictable.
Watch your email boxes for the Six Colors newsletter or magazine, but it's a newsletter. It's called the magazine. Whatever. It's a play on the fact that
don't
we work
questions.
The magazines. I don't know. Just follow Kalendar. And you'll be fine. In fact, oh no, Dan, Kalendar is back. We have to release it today because it's the end of January. Oh,
it is.
It controls us. But until then, thank you for supporting Six Colors and listening to this podcast. And most importantly, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.